Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The Game, Trevor Maddich at 4:30. We'll get his thoughts on the draft. We'll get his thoughts on positions of a need throughout the draft for the Titans. So we'll have Trevor with that. And there, you're going to, if you make some cuts, there are going to be positions of need that you add to. And as I said yesterday on the show, I am going to clear up $31.8 million in salary cap space, $5 million from redoing some deals, and then I am cutting Adam Humphries, I am cutting Kenny Vaccaro, I am cutting Adoree Jackson, I am trading Rashawn Evans, and I am cutting Ben Jones. And Titan fans got mad at me last night. Oh my God. How could you dare cut Ben Jones? Why would you cut Adoree? Why? I mean, people were just freaking out. And let me explain something. Sometimes I get the impression that fans, Ian, what's the old saying the GM always used to say? If you start listening to the fans pretty soon,
you become one. Yes, that is correct.
You become a fan. Pretty soon you get fired and you're sitting with the fans. And he's not the only person that said that. I've only heard that 5,000 times. Because it's so funny, every time somebody's out there, or any time that the Titans have a little bit of salary cap space, the reaction from the fans is, they got to get him, they got to get him, they got to sign him, they got to do it. They got to do it, Jared. Now the Titans right now don't have any money. And I'm trying to create some to be able to go out and get some guys to fix some positions that you say they got to fix, like pass rusher. And I try to cut a guy like Ben Jones, and Titans fans just freak out. He's the glue of the offensive line, Jared. He is the man on that line. He is 32. There are tons of centers on the free agent market. He's an unrestricted free agent after the end of the year. If he were to go onto the market today, he's not getting $6.2 million, which is the difference between cutting him and keeping him. He's never made the Pro Bowl. He's not Ragnow at Detroit. He's not Kelsey in Philadelphia. He's not J.C. Treader with the Browns. He's not Ryan Kelly of the Colts. He's a good player. He means a lot to this team. But the outrage I got with, oh my God, how could you cut this guy? You can't cut Ben Jones. Why not? By the way, if he's an unrestricted free agent after the end of the year, you think the Titans are going to sign a 33-year-old center next year? Is somebody else going to be the glue by then anyway? You're going to have to learn how to live without some of these guys. Because last year, you were able to pay everybody $197 million. This year, you have to pay everybody $182. Some guys aren't going to be here. I cannot believe the Titans care so much about Ben Jones being the glue of the offensive line when I saw what they did on the other side of the ball last year when they let Logan Ryan walk out the door and they shipped Jarrell Casey out of town. Those guys were the glue on defense. Didn't matter to them last year. Sometimes I feel like Titan fans just think the Titans have infinity dollars under the cap and that they can go sign whoever they want and they can go do whatever and they can, and it doesn't work like that. When you sign everybody, when you commit to everybody, you become the predators. When you look at a player on your team that you're like, oh my God, I can't think about what life would be like without this guy. You got to do it. Because their money isn't there. And do you know why I would cut a guy like Ben Jones? Because if you cut Ben Jones, the odds of Ben Jones being able to get that contract on the open market are almost zero. In fact, I think there's a pretty good chance that if Ben Jones comes into the office and you say, Ben, we love you. Ben, you mean the world to this team. Ben, you've been a great Titan. Ben, you are the glue on our offensive line. But we can't pay you $7.2 million, knowing that he's going to be a 33-year-old free agent center, knowing that guys like Corey Linsley and Alex Mack and other centers are on the market this year, knowing that there are guys like the Dickerson kid from Alabama or Drake Jackson at Kentucky or the kid from Ohio State that are all going to come out of the draft this year, and that center is not a premium position in the NFL, you might be able to convince him, hey, how about you, we'll sign you to a deal that'll include next year, but it's going to be for way less money this year. And he might just say yes. Because who knows what the free agent market is going to look like in the next year for a 33-year-old unrestricted free agent. But you have to leverage guys. You have to be willing to let guys go. You have to be willing to put yourself in the situation the Titans did a couple years ago when they didn't pick up the fifth-year option on Jack Conklin because Jack Conklin had the injury history, and then you get burned by it when he outplays the deal and he signs a big deal somewhere else, and you know you really could have used him. But you have to take those risks because you don't have the money. You don't have infinity dollars against the cap. Right now, you have to evaluate your resources. That's what we started yesterday's show talking about, was evaluating the resources of the team. And I will argue, as I argued at the time against the signing of Jadeveon Clowney, that it was going to affect the resources of the 2021 team adversely in a way that I thought outperformed whatever Clowney was going to give you. So now you have to deal with those ramifications. And that means guys you like aren't going to be here next year or shouldn't be here next year. You don't. I want the Titans to go get J.J. Watt. But right now, they're over the cap by $1.69 million. They can't sign J.J. Watt. I want them to go look at a guy like Carlos Dunlap. It's not Carlos Dunlap. There are guys out there that I want them to go look at. Carl Lawson, that's it, excuse me. Carl Lawson, who TD just talks about all the time. I mean, TD is the president of the Carl Lawson fan club. But everyone said, well, what about Yannick Ngakoue? What about Matthew Judon? What about, you can't sign any of those guys if you don't start making cuts. Like, you got to make some cuts. Guys got to go. This is the tough part. As I said, it's not a hard decision. It is not a hard decision when you have all the cap space in the world. When you have the cap space, it's just a, I just don't like the guy, so I wanted to cut him. When you don't have the cap space, it becomes, okay, do I want Ben Jones or do I want to get another pass rusher? Do I want Ben Jones or do I want Roger Saffold? Let's remember what a premium position in the NFL is. Pass rushing is a premium position, which means it costs you premium dollars. Even to get guys who stink, it costs you premium dollars or premium draft picks in order to go out and get someone to man that spot, if they're any good. It's not going to cost you premium dollars to replace Ben Jones with a capable starting center with NFL experience. It's not going to cost you a premium draft pick to go out and draft somebody this year who can start from day one at that position. When I was a kid, the center position never mattered to the Tennessee Titans. Kevin Long, I think, was a seventh-round draft pick. He was there for a couple years. Then he left, and he got paid, and he went somewhere else. Then they turned around and they brought Gennaro DiNapoli, a backup guard. He played center and then he signed a big deal with the Dallas Cowboys. And then they went out and drafted Justin Hartwig. And then he signed a big deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then they signed Kevin Mawai and he was pretty good. And then there was all that union stuff. So he left and he retired. And now Eugene Amano comes in and I think he was a sixth or seventh round draft pick and he played center for forever. You don't need to spend $7.2 million on your center. I like Ben Jones. Somebody tweeted me yesterday and said, that's the best non-rookie contract on the Titans, Ben Jones at 7.2. I almost spit out my water when I saw that. I don't know. Maybe Derrick Henry at the below market value contract that you signed because you had him over a barrel because of the franchise tag in a pandemic, I'd say that that is probably the best non-rookie contract you have. And boy, that's a good one for the production you get. There's just not a money to go. You got to cut people. And like, it's easy for me to say, cut Adam Humphries, save 4.46 on the cap. Everybody would say yes. But when you start saying, hey, cut Adoree Jackson, hey, cut Ben Jones, people start to, whoa, now. Look, man, you can't keep everybody. You cannot keep everybody. And I just think that, to me, I said this yesterday at the start of the show, when I talked about what you're going to have to do in order to create cap space, and I asked the question, what is the priority of the football team to you? Is the priority to run it back on offense? Because if it is to run it back on offense, then I will keep, I mean, I say, if it is run it back on offense, then I keep Ben Jones and I keep Roger Saffold. And I try to find a way to make it work with either Corey Davis or Jonnu Smith. But that's not my priority. My priority is to find guys, because it's going to be at least two in free agency and probably one at the top of the draft, that can go out and get the quarterback. Because none of this matters to me if you don't improve on that. You had a great offense last year. You had a 2,000-yard rusher. And it was almost completely undone. And you couldn't get out of the first round of the playoffs because your defense couldn't get any stops. So what's the priority of the team? This isn't like it was back in the days where they were awful and they could just sign a bunch of free agents. The cap numbers matter. Last year, everybody said, what are they doing with all that cap space? They got to sign Clowney. Would you like to have the $12 million now? And by the way, I think we can all agree, I'm not second-guessing. I first-guessed. I spent all summer saying don't sign him. Floyd spent all summer saying don't sign him. And then they signed him. And in the most scathing criticism of John Robinson that he can give, Floyd did when he said that he wouldn't have done it. I understand what they were doing, but I wouldn't have done it. I'm like, woo, that is not a good sign from the GM. And that's the position they're in. So because you make moves like this, somebody's got to go. You got to fill number two wide receiver, number one tight end, number two tight end, number three tight end, outside linebacker, inside linebacker, two defensive linemen. Those are a lot harder to get than a starting center. I'm sorry. Maybe the best starting center in the league is in Detroit, Frank Ragnow. How many games do they win because of it? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We are live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. We will get to your thoughts on all of this. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, I just don't get why we don't look at past cap decisions and current cap decisions, and we can't see the correlation as to where they got to go. We'll get to your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. So many companies delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025, The Game.
What's wrong in the Titans' philosophy with the idea of a dominant pass rusher who draws double teams and goes and gets him? And how come you guys never talk about that guy, never invest resources in chasing that guy, and always kind of cover for the lack of having that guy rather than expressing a desire to have that guy?
No, I mean, I think we would love to have that guy. I mean, that's kind of our, we want all of our players to be successful, including the edge rush guys. We're looking for those kind of players and willing to invest resources. You know, again, we tried to put a plan together last year with building a team and adding some players. And, there were some players that came on the team in free agency that bought in and were about what we're about. And there's some that didn't work for a myriad of reasons. But I think that's a position that, we're definitely interested in and would love to have a guy that commands double teams and gets two sacks. I mean, at the end of the day, the players are the ones that make the plays, and we got to try to get as many of them as possible.
And you know how you get guys like that? You have cap space. That's how you get guys like that. That's how Tampa Bay gets JPP, and then they can franchise tag Shaq Barrett, and all of a sudden they win the Super Bowl. That's how Green Bay can go get the Smith brothers. That's how the Ravens can tag Matthew Judon and trade for Yannick Ngakoue. That's how the Houston Texans had J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus. Now they don't have any cap space anymore because they had to trade for a left tackle, and DeAndre Hopkins had to go, and so did J.J. Watt eventually. Text her to the text line. I'm telling you, cap space, I mean, cap space, I'll give Indianapolis credit because they have accumulated picks and they have accumulated cap space and they have gotten some damn good players with those. And last year they pounced. DeForest Buckner was out there. They used a first-round pick for him. They signed him to a long-term deal. They paid the money, and he got results. That's the kind of player that the Titans have to go get, although maybe more of like a true edge rusher than a DeForest Buckner kind of player, but a player of that caliber. And guess what? You can't get that player when you are minus $1.69 million over the cap. Texter, the text line says, Jared, after you cut everyone and free up cap space, tell me what you would do in free agency. How would you address the pass rush? And, I mean, I was texting back and forth with TD. He loves Carl Lawson. He thinks that Carl Lawson is a guy who's kind of under the radar, who won't command the big money or the big attention, but is a go-get-the-quarterback kind of guy. I think the Titans need one of those kind of guys and then one kind of big guy that's a leader-type player, i.e. JJ, that is a pass-rushing specialist that will cost you $10 million bucks, that kind of guy, another guy, and then I think they got to use at least one pick on it. And if that is in its, if that is saying, okay, I'm cutting Ben Jones and his $7.2 million cap number, and I am saving $6.2 million against the cap, and I am handing that money to Carl Lawson as a pass rusher, I will do that. Ian, if you could, Teron Davenport yesterday on the Midday Show, he was talking about what kind of player Carl Lawson is. Because I think you can sign a center for less than, you know, the market rate of what Ben Jones is going for now. And I don't think you can sign pass rushers for less than that. This is what he said about Carl Lawson yesterday.
Carl Lawson, I think, is one. He's an ascending player. And he has a full toolbox. Guy got a spin move. His hands are ridiculous. Speed to power is there. He just is outright powerful as well. Could use the Euro step. He's a complete pass rusher. I know he had 5 sacks last year, but I think if you get him in there. And the other thing is, he's one of those guys you could drop him down like a Sam and play, you know, against the run. So now you don't have 2 fastballs coming off the edge in Landry and Lawson. You have a guy who complements your premier chess piece as far as a pass rusher is concerned, and that's Landry. But then in addition to that, when you have all that force coming off the edge, tackles are going to have to worry about that. It's going to be a lot harder to help out, you know, on Jeffrey Simmons, and that's also going to help in the different stunts and things that they do. I love that move. If there's one free agent that I feel that team has to sign, it's Carl Lawson.
And so if he's not going to break the bank and I can hand him Ben Jones's $6.2 million and I can draft Drake Jackson out of Kentucky with one of my 2 third-round picks or maybe even in the 4th round, a la what they did with Nate Davis, I'm for it. Because, again, I'm priority guy, and defense is a priority. Texter says, Jared, I agree 100% that defense was horrible, but that wasn't the reason why the Titans didn't get out of the first round. The playoff game, defense probably did enough. The offense stunk. Let me say this. The Titans' offense did stink, but the defense wasn't great. Don't let giving up 20 points to the Ravens fool you about how the defense played in that game. They didn't force enough punts. They didn't get off the field on 3rd down. When Vrabel stupidly punted on 4th and 2, you needed to get a stop. They didn't get it. You know, they never really got timely stops, even in that playoff game. They let Lamar do the one thing he absolutely, positively could not do, which is break one to the house, and he did, and it changed the game. And we can look at the point totals and say, well, you know, they only gave up 20 points. Titans defense was a mess last year. And they can deny it all they want, like somebody who did, you know, denies climate change. They can deny the defense's terribleness by promoting the guy who is in charge of it. But to me, you got to spend some money on defense. And in order to spend some money, you got to create some money. And you got to create a lot of that from offense. I mean, I'm also trying to get rid of Rashawn Evans, and I'm cutting Kenny Vaccaro in a corner. So, I mean, some of that is you're going to lose a little bit when you do that. But these are what they call tough decisions. Texter says, just saying there was some bad decision-making on the Titans, and maybe that's why the cap space name is an issue at this point. Who do you look at about the cap space? I look at COVID-19 as the issue for the cap space. Now, the Clowney thing, I mean, that is the $12 million they spent on Clowney, and what they didn't get out of that, I mean, is still to this day. I mean, you will have a lot of people who thought it was a good idea at the time, and thus they don't bang their heads against the wall trying to figure out how in the world the Titans could have done that. As you know, I was not one of them at any point last year, and that's probably what makes it so much harder for me right now, is that I saw it coming, Floyd laid it out for everybody, and now they're going to lose players and maybe not be able to sign them because they went after Clowney last year. Trevor Maddich coming up next in the draft. The positions of need, how deep are they? How many rounds? Because the Titans are going to have to hit with this cap space situation in the second and the third just as much as they're going to have to hit in the first. Trevor joins us next. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, we are less than a month away from free agency. We are right at franchise tag time. The window opens today. And if we're operating under $182 million cap, which Pro Football Talk reported yesterday, $182 or $183 million, the Titans at $182 would be $1.69 million over the cap before they make some cuts. And they're going to need a number two wide receiver, a number one tight end, a number two tight end, a number three tight end, an outside linebacker, an inside linebacker, two defensive linemen. And then if they cut Kenny Vaccaro, they're going to need a safety. And if they cut Ben Jones like I want them to, they're going to need a center. So let's not kid ourselves. They're going to have to get some bargain deals in the free agent market, and they're going to have to draft like it's 2019 when it went Jeffrey Simmons in the first round, A.J. Brown in the second round, Nate Davis in the third round, Amani Hooker in the fourth round. They're going to need that kind of draft. Trevor Maddich joins us, ESPN college football analyst. So, Trev, I know you've been looking at all the different position groups. I'm sure you've been looking at Mel Kiper's mock drafts and Todd McShay and the big boards and things of that magnitude. Please tell me, with the salary cap being what it looks like it's going to be, there is at least light at the end of the tunnel for the Titans with the NFL draft this year.
Yeah, there's light at the end of the tunnel. There's some good depth, and if they scout well, then they've got a chance to pull some guys out that'll have red flags for teams, that they might stay away from those guys, or they might draft them lower than their talent level would suggest because of injury situations that may not have been resolved yet. But the Titans have a history with that, and it's worked out well with guys like Jeffrey Simmons. So this draft does have the opportunity to bring in not just great guys at the top, decent guys in the middle, and maybe a prospect or two at the bottom. In the middle of this draft, they could pull out some guys that could start for them and be very productive for a long time if they scout it right.
Trev, what do we think? Let's start off the top at kind of the pass rusher position, because I am all about clearing up the cap space to go get a J.J. Watt kind of guy. And I look at J.J. Watt as the kind of guy who can come in and he can be a pass rushing specialist and probably get you about 7, 8 to 10 sacks, but also to be a leader of a young pass rusher room with Harold Landry. And I say draft somebody high first or second round, or maybe take a couple, you know, first round and maybe one or two in the third round. I think they've got to go that route this year. How deep is that position?
You know, I think it's fairly deep. The elite guys are the ones that usually go in the first half or the first two-thirds of the first round. After that, you're dealing with compromises. You'll have a guy that was productive, but his measurables aren't good. You have a guy whose measurables are good, but he's not productive, like Rashawn Gary coming out of Michigan a couple of years ago, for goodness sake. And so, but there are guys that can get that done. I mean, my favorite pure edge rusher in this draft, and not really a pure edge rusher, but a guy that they could really move around for the Titans, because of what Vrabel's able to do as a head coach and what his history was with Belichick and the way he played the game with scheme versatility, what is Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia. I mean, he's a linebacker who is absolutely a terror coming off the edge. He is tremendous in terms of ranging all over the field. And when it comes time to go get the passer, he is as disruptive as anybody in college football last year. Now, that's if they want a guy who's at the linebacker position, because he's not really going to put his hand in the dirt and be a defensive end. But even so, if the goal is to have somebody rush off the edge opposite Landry, that guy's my favorite guy among several others who also have the ability to do it.
You don't think Titans fans would be a little nervous about drafting a guy from Georgia after the Isaiah Wilson saga has played what maybe looks like its final course?
I think that's a fair question, but I think the Isaiah Wilson thing is a different thing. I mean, it would make you want to do extra due diligence, really drafting anybody in the first round. Isaiah Wilson would make you want to do extra due diligence because they thought that they did their due diligence with Wilson. And, you know, Robinson said, John Robinson, the general manager, said that the Wilson that showed up is not the Wilson that they scouted. I mean, they just flat out missed that. And so this draft season, with COVID limiting face-to-face opportunities or even eliminating them in some cases, is a detriment to their ability to do that kind of due diligence. Now, I'll tell you this about Walker. I am astonished in the most profoundly negative way that this thing has gotten to where it is right now. As a caveat, Jared, I hold out the possibility that maybe he's got some sort of a mental illness of some sort, like bipolar or something like that. Remember a couple of years ago, well, more than that now, the Raiders were in the Super Bowl. Their center was a really good player. And the night before the Super Bowl, he disappeared. No one could find him. And he ended up not even playing in the game. And it turned out that he was something like bipolar, and he just freaked out. And it's not his fault. People that have those kinds of disorders, chemical imbalances in the brain, that's a disease like diabetes. You know, you need some sort of chemical balancing to make it work, and then it might not. So I'm holding out the possibility that he's dealing with something like that, in which case what I'm about to say would not apply. But having
I'm with you. I mean, I think that we all need to take that into account before we, you know, dump on a 22-year-old. So I've thought about that as well.
Yeah, but if we just take as, you know, that he doesn't have that for the purposes of this discussion right now, Jared, I have utter contempt for his behavior. Contempt. If he wants to go out there and blow his opportunity, hey, that's his prerogative. If he wants to take the money and run, okay, take the money and run. You're missing out on so much, and basically that money's not going to last. It's going to be gone, and then what's he going to do? But to me, it's about the team. They drafted him in the first round. That's an investment. They need a first-round talent and first-round production. And if he doesn't provide that, for the reason, not that he's not good enough or that he got injured or something like that, but if he didn't provide that because he just didn't want to go through the effort. There's a whole bunch of guys on that team that have a narrow window to be able to make the playoffs, to make a Super Bowl run, and they need a first-round talent and right tackle to get it done. And they could have got one, but instead they don't have one. It's just a big hole in the draft, and nothing exists there. I look at that from a teammate standpoint, thinking, okay, this is my opportunity to get to where I need to go. And that guy just couldn't care enough to give us what he said he would give us during the draft process. That, to me, is not just a dereliction of duty from a personal standpoint. That is aggressively damaging the careers of certain people that won't be on the team if the team loses, if the team, you know, if they age out and they're not able to get that position replaced at a high enough level soon enough, that kind of a thing. So I don't know the young man, and so I don't want to say that he's a bad person. But I will say, Jared, that if he doesn't have some sort of a mental disorder that we need to take into account, if this is just a matter of laziness, which is what it appears to be right now, I have utter contempt for the behavior, not the person, the behavior that he has exhibited. And I'm mad about it.
Well, it's funny, Trev, because you know, Hudson Mason was on our show earlier today, you know, former Georgia quarterback who he didn't play with Isaiah Wilson, but I mean, even he said when he was on the show, hey, I mean, I still got kind of the inside scoop of what's going on in Athens. And he said he never heard anything about Isaiah Wilson's attitude or work ethic. And he said, look, some guys, you know, in college, they kind of babysit you a little bit. They're not going to do that in the NFL. Maybe he was one of them. But Hudson Mason was saying he had never heard anything about Isaiah Wilson as far as this stuff was concerned.
Yeah, and when they babysit in college, the college coaches will generally tell that to the pros, to the pro scouts and to the pro coaches. I mean, if Nick Saban in Alabama had to babysit a player in order to shepherd him through, holding him by the hand, because he wasn't a self-starter, he didn't follow leadership, he wasn't self-motivated, you always had to be there. And Bill Belichick of the Patriots called him up, because they have a good relationship, those two, and asked Saban about that guy. Do you think Saban would tell him the truth, or do you think he'd lie and say, no, that guy's the best self-starter you ever saw? Right? Mm-hmm. Heck no. Saban would absolutely tell the truth to Belichick, and I believe that the coaches at Georgia tell the truth. And they told the Titans what they thought was true. And if the truth would have been coming from Georgia, if they would have been telling John Robinson and Mike Vrabel and the Titans that this guy's got great physical talent, but we're not sure if he really loves the game and we always have to push him to get him to work, they wouldn't have taken him in the first round.
Trevor Maddich is our guest, ESPN college football analyst, on the draft. Coming up next, now that the Titans probably going to have to fill that need, what if Corey Davis goes somewhere? What if Jonnu Smith goes somewhere? What if Jayon Brown goes somewhere? Where can they look to fix these things? We'll get into that with the draft with Trevor Maddich. That's coming up next. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Trevor Maddich brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Stillman & Company delivered by TriStar Moving. Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst, our guest. Trevor, brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. So, Trev, Corey Davis is a free agent, and it doesn't look like he'll be in the Titans' price range. Jonnu Smith, the tight end, is a free agent. In fact, they're going to have to replace the first tight end and probably find a second tight end, too, at some point. Although the second and third tight ends they can do in free agency. And middle linebacker Jayon Brown's a free agent. Let's start with Davis. I'm not saying the Titans should use a high pick on a wide receiver, but I do think they're going to need to use a pick on a wide receiver. It looks like they're going to cut Adam Humphries too, so they would need a number two and a number three receiver to complement A.J. Brown. Is this draft going to give them the possibility to do that?
Yeah, it will, because there are so many guys that are elite. Jamar Chase at the top of the draft out of LSU, and you know, Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle out of Alabama. There's a lot of just elite guys that will be first and second rounders. And I think that will push other wide receivers with some pretty good skills down into those middle rounds. When you talk about slot, take a look at Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss. This is a guy that is very physical, outstanding at making the contested catch over the middle. But he's just, you know, and he should fall down, being a slot receiver. He should fall down into the middle rounds. He'll be available. But I think it's intriguing to look at guys that have some great thing that they do, but a reason why teams would pass on them and they would fall down the draft. And I'll give you two guys at wide receiver that are intriguing for me on the outside for the Titans. One is De'Ami Brown out of North Carolina. He is arguably the best deep threat wide receiver in college football. I mean, the average depth of target was over 17 yards downfield for him. But because of that, he didn't really rep a whole lot of shorter routes and underneath routes. So he's not very good at that. But he runs by everybody, and that includes Clemson. He runs by the elite defenses. And that's one thing that the Titans have needed, is an outstanding deep threat. And they'll have to develop him underneath, but going downfield, De'Ami Brown is really interesting, and he should fall because of that into those middle rounds for the Titans. And another guy like that is Tylan Wallace out of Oklahoma State. He's a former track star. He gets deep, but he's even less experienced at running the underneath routes than De'Ami Brown. And so with all that speed and all that ability to get over the top all the time, make contested catches deep, all that, he's not a complete wide receiver. But you can't coach speed. Those two guys, De'Ami Brown, Tylan Wallace, have a chance to become diamonds in the rough and steals in the middle rounds of this draft for the Titans.
Trev, what do we make of, like, I have the idea that they're going to need to invest in pass rusher. They've got a 32-year-old center, Ben Jones, who's $7.2 million against the cap. I promise you, as a former NFL offensive lineman, former first-round pick offensive lineman, I am not degrading the offensive line with what I'm about to say. But I think they can replace the center position in the third or fourth round of this year's draft with a guy who can start right away. Am I crazy for thinking that?
Well, you're crazy, Jared, but that's not necessarily why. So, you know, we can both things can be true.
That.
Yeah, you are. But there are. I mean, when you look at guys that, again, just like those two wide receivers we talked about that have great upside, but there's reasons for them to fall into those middle rounds. I think there's a couple guys that are intriguing for the Titans. One of them is out of Illinois. His name is Kendrick Green. He is explosive. I mean, one of the most explosive interior offensive linemen I've seen in the last couple of years. That snapping shotgun and firing out and drilling people and shocking people. He's got that kind of nasty ability to initiate a run block. But the reason he might drop is because he's not all that awesome at pass protection right now. He just needs a lot of work on his technique. But he's a fantastic athlete. And so because of that, the Titans would get a guy who right off the bat can run block and has the athletic ability to develop into an improving pass rusher. Now, you want a guy that's complete? Get one at the top of the draft. But see, here's another guy that should be at the top of the draft, and he might fall as far as the third round. We'll see. And that is, out of Alabama, Landon Dickerson. Now, Dickerson is, you know, more physical than Green. Dickerson is so much fun to watch. If you enjoy watching offensive linemen dominate and pancake defenders with a nasty attitude, then stand over them and say something, Dickerson is entertaining because he's so violent. But you got to think of him like Jeffrey Simmons because he's got some serious medical red flags. I mean, his freshman year, he was at Florida State, actually. He tore his ACL. The year after that, he had an ankle injury, missed 9 games. And then his last year at Alabama, he tore his ACL in the SEC championship game, right? So can he stay healthy? And that's a big question mark, and that's where the Titans would have to do their due diligence. The doctors will have to be right. Looks like they were right about Jeffrey Simmons. But if Dickerson falls to them in the third round or so, and if they believe that he will get healthy and will have the durability, they will have a first-round talent in the third round. So these are some guys at center that would be intriguing prospects.
What do we make of the tight ends? Jonnu Smith, Teron Davenport wrote at ESPN.com that the Titans might consider franchise tagging him. I like Jonnu Smith. He's not worth $10 million. Is this year a good year for drafting tight ends? We know Kyle Pitts is at the top. We know the Titans won't have a shot at him. What about later in the draft?
Later in the draft, there are some guys that ought to be able to step in. I mean, Jonnu Smith has been really important as a blocker and as a pass catcher. I love after the catch, by the way. I mean, Derrick Henry smashes people when they come to tackle him. Jonnu Smith gives just as good as Derrick Henry when people come try to tackle him. It's fun to watch. But I think there are a couple of guys that would be able to get the job done in the middle rounds. First, you need to be able to block. And then you need to be able to catch. And one guy to watch for is Tommy Tremble out of Notre Dame. Now, he might not fall to the third or fourth round, but he is a phenomenal run blocker. I mean, he loves the violence of run blocking. A lot of big tight ends just want to shield you. Tremble wants to mix it up with you. He wants to hit you in the mouth and see if you could hit him back. But he's also an outstanding pass catcher. The question is because he only played just a season or two at Notre Dame, will he have, will scouts trust him? And if they don't, maybe he'll fall down to the middle rounds. Boise State's John Bates is another guy. He's a pretty good blocker. He's a big, tall guy that can reach up and make catches. He would fall to the middle rounds because he's just not fast. But he's got a big catch radius, and so he can still make the play even when he's covered. So, yeah, Jonnu Smith, I would love to see him keep him, but I agree with you. I think that price tag is too heavy, and I think they'll be able to get some guys in the middle rounds that could compete for that job and might end up being pretty interesting.
Trev, you know what I find to be crazy, and I think maybe as a former player you can relate to this a little bit, but I think that the teams will still be able to spend on the free agent market because everybody's going to find a way to get under the cap. I just think guys who are free agents this year, unless you're an elite guy, like if you're a Corey Davis and a number two receiver makes $11 million, in a normal year you would make that contract. I don't think you're going to make that contract this year. And I think that that's going to go across the board around the league except for a handful of teams. That's why I think you're going to cut guys off your own team because you're going to say, hey, somebody else is going to cut this player. They're going to get to the market thinking, hey, I made $8 million last year. I should make $8 million this year. And only $4.5 million is going to be out there for those guys. I think we're going to see like a weird, I don't want to say market suppression, but there are going to be veteran players who are looking for more money, and it's just not going to be there, in my opinion, this year, Trev.
Yeah, you know, and I agree with you. I mean, the salary cap did go up just a tiny bit, even though COVID happened. I mean, there was negotiations for that. TV contracts are coming up for renewal, so those things are up. But because of that, the TV contracts coming up, nobody really knows what the salary cap will be going forward over the next 5 years or so, because they don't know what those contracts are going to look like. And part of the problem, if you're a free agent in this kind of an environment, not knowing what the cap will be because you just don't have, you know, contracts in place with the broadcast partners, you want to be paid as if the revenues coming in will be what you expect them to be, what they've been in the past. They will continue to grow like you expect them to grow. But teams can't do that. They can't commit that much money except for to the top players, because, you know, you've got a problem if you pay a pretty good player top player money. Then if the salary cap doesn't rise as much as you think, you're stuck, and that pretty good player is in the role of the top player that you can't afford now. So you've got the teams that don't want to necessarily commit to their salary cap long term yet. You've got the players who want the teams to, and until the broadcast contracts get settled, no one's going to know exactly what's going to happen. So if you're a veteran free agent right now and you're not in the top tier, you're likely to be very disappointed and feel pretty darn disrespected. And it won't have anything to do with anything other than uncertainty.
Trevor Maddich is our guest, ESPN college football analyst. Trevor Lawrence goes number one overall. Who goes number two?
I think Penei Sewell ought to go number two. He is the left tackle out of Oregon. And he is absolutely the most perfect NFL prospect of that position that I've seen come out in a long, long time. And so I'm thinking that he would be the guy that ought to go number two. That's the Jets, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they've got Becton
at
left tackle.
And so, yeah. And so if I'm the Jets, Mekhi Becton out of Louisville at left tackle, I would move him over to right tackle, because he's just massive. He has the size of a right tackle, a big right tackle, but he's got the footwork, the nimble movement of a quality left tackle. So I put him over to the right. I put Penei Sewell at the left, and now I've got my bookends for the next decade. And I would not give up, if I'm the Jets, on Sam Darnold at quarterback. They have no idea how good he is. You know, I think that he came into the league needing a quality quarterback whisperer at coach, and he had Adam Gase, and he doesn't have a terrific track record at that. He needed weapons to throw to. He didn't have that. The offensive line has been a work in progress, although it's getting better now. I don't think it's time to make a judgment on him and go for a quarterback. I think the left tackle, Penei Sewell, will improve the quarterback position over the next 3 years more than drafting a quarterback at number two would improve the left tackle position for the Jets over the next 3 years.
Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst. I could go on and on and on pegging you with questions, Trev, but I just have to save it for next Tuesday.
We got lots of stuff, man. It's going to be fun. That's when you and I talk. I always hate it to get to the top of the hour because I know we got to stop, and I know we have so much more to say. So we'll carry it over next week.
He's the best in the business. Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst. Have a great week, Trev.
Thanks, Jared. You too.
Yep, Trevor brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. By the way, we don't normally double up guests, go back to back, but the Predators with an early start time tonight at Detroit, which means we're out at 5:30. So Hal Gill will join us coming up next. Pecorine says don't sell yet. David Poyle says don't sell yet. But how do we feel? I don't know. Hey, ESPN 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to help you continue with the tradition of hockey home gating partying. That's right. It's time to text to the game text line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile hockey home gate. Watch a weekend Preds game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food for your home gate. Text the word Preds to 615-737-1025 now to enter, and the winner will be contacted on Thursday. You must be 21 or older to enter. Hal Gill joins us next. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.